We hear again from some of the verses of our Old Testament reading in Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. In the name of Jesus. For whom has the Lord's anointed one, or Messiah, or Christ, come? What kind of people does this servant of Yahweh, as Isaiah calls him, serve? And what does he do? What does he give? What kind of Jesus do we look to this Advent, this Christmas? The language of Isaiah 61 tells us what kind of Christ or Messiah is coming, has come, and exactly who is he coming for. So in the Old Testament reading today, the first description of those for whom the Christ or the Messiah has come and come to serve are described as poor. In other words, those who have nothing to bring in and of themselves. Those who bring nothing but their own poverty. These are the bankrupt, the desolate, the destitute. So if we're looking for people to bring something to God in order to merit, buy, or earn his service, we aren't looking to this same Jesus or this same gospel spoken of here, whom the prophet tells us has come for the poor. This is what Jesus again preaches from the Sermon on the Mount, if you'll remember, where he tells us that blessed or salvation is for the poor in spirit. Another way of interpreting this same Hebrew word that we read in English here as poor is afflicted. One who has a condition that they can't change. One who badly needs a remedy or healing from something outside of something in themselves. So this isn't one who's improving or getting better or progressing, but one who's terminal in their affliction. Unlike what our sinful flesh believes about ourselves, as we think we're maybe not that bad off. Or perhaps we think maybe we're just a bit flawed, or we may even say things like, well, nobody's perfect. We even compare ourselves often and regularly to others around us that are worse off in our eyes than ourselves. At least we're better than this person or that person, we may think, and so on. But the law of God tells us otherwise. We bring nothing. We have nothing in and of ourselves. Revelation 3:17 puts it this way. For you say, I am rich. I've prospered. I have need of nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. We bring nothing but empty hands, nothing but sin, nothing but resistance to our God, to our Creator. Even rebellion and even hatred of God. Nothing but insurmountable debt. Yet, poor sinners, bad sinners, are the ones Jesus, the Christ, or the Anointed One, brings or delivers this good news. He came for the poor, the afflicted, the real life, the actual sinner, even the worst of sinners. And so he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The second description here that's given of those for whom Christ or the Anointed One has come are those who are brokenhearted. Those whose heart is literally broken into pieces. He comes for the heartbroken, the depressed, the downcast. When your heart's broken, you can't fix it on your own. Can't do much about it. You can't put it back together, and you can't make it right. It's broken, and you have to have a physician, a healer, even a transplant. So no looking inside your heart and trying to make things work is going to do. There's nothing healthy there inside. There's no healing found inside. But Jesus has come to give this healing, his healing. Even a new heart he gives. A new heart for the heartbroken. He speaks and delivers life where it looks like there's imminent death. He brings substantive hope where there appears to be none, and he comes in the midst of a life of pain and fear, and a life where one's own sin and the sin of others has harmed, polluted, destroyed, and brought nothing but mourning and immense sadness. This, however, these people, these sinners, these heartbroken ones, are the ones who the Lord Jesus, the Christ, has come. These are those to whom he draws near. He comes to heal us of our terminal condition, our heart failure, if you will, from the ravaging of sin, death, and the devil. And so he says this to the heartbroken. He has sent me to bind up the heartbroken and to comfort all who mourn. Finally, our Lord Jesus shows us that he's come for the prisoner, the captive, the one who's guilty. Not the good moral citizens, but the law-breaking sinner. The slave, the one who can't unbind himself, the one whose only hope is to cry out, as we did this morning, Kyrie, Lord, have mercy. Jesus the Christ has come for the one who can't change this guilty verdict, that which the law has accused us of. We're guilty. And we can do nothing about this condition, about this guilt. Just like a prisoner can't make themselves free, can't undo all that's been undone, or that's been done, and all that has been done, and all that they've done to God and to neighbor. But this anointed one, Jesus, has come to bring freedom where there's none to be found. He releases the prisoner. He speaks them free. He speaks you free. He says it, and it is accomplished. It's done. It's finished. For he has taken that sentence that you deserve upon himself. He died the death, even death on a cross, in your place, in the place for your sins, carrying all your sins upon himself as the Lamb of God who bears not only your sins, but also the sins of the entire world. So he has come, as Isaiah says, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He puts it this way in John chapter 8, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." St. Paul tells us this way in Galatians chapter 5, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." This Christ, or anointed one who is speaking even today through his word of gospel, has come for you and comes to you in his service. To those who he has gathered to his name, he delivers this good news. All you who are poor, brokenhearted, and death-sentenced in your sinful flesh, he delivers his gospel of all sins forgiven to you. He brings the riches of his gifts to those who have nothing to bring. He's with you, and he places his name upon you. He's done so in his promise of baptism, where he's washed you clean, whiter than the whitest of snow. And he's also with you in the worst of times and the darkness of places, including the time of pandemic. He's the God present with his people and joined himself to you in your suffering and your pain. He's the one who brings you liberty and freedom, although born guilty, a captive and a slave. And he accomplishes this through the mouth of another person, even a preacher, somebody sent for you and to you, a word spoken today to give you his word of gospel, that you may know his consolation of all sins forgiven, his absolution spoken to you from another. This is given not to the good, to the pious person, but it's given to the sinner. It's given to you. And his gospel turns your mourning and your sadness into gladness. He turns your crying into a song, your filthy rags. In place of them, he gives the garment of his own righteousness. For it's Jesus who saves his people from their sins and plants his church, which he's purchased not with silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood shed for you and given to you. His chosen bride, he gives his body and blood in his most holy supper. And so Isaiah ends the first part of this text with this promise to you. Grant to those who mourn in Zion, give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. Give them the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. To grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. In the name of Jesus. Amen.